Chapter 1. Shriek of the Psyker.
"Is that him?" the Space Marine librarian said.
"That is him, Lexicanium,"
the Technomad guard answered in a flat, amiable tone.
"He was brought in 30 days ago, dispatched by the Scholar Psychana."
The librarian mentally forgave the guard for answering questions it had not been asked. A technomat had only a rudimentary personality, its mind wiped clean for some misdemeanour, or possibly grown in a vat to serve the purposes of the administratum. It served only one function, and knew only that function. It certainly did not understand the finer points of protocol when speaking to a person of rank. On a flickering screen by the door, the librarian could see into the cell. The pale young man within was huddled on a bench. He was clad in a single, simple garment of tanned animal skin, fringed at the skirt and sleeves. The apparel of the primitive world from which he had been taken, most likely. Even from here, the librarian could pick up his almost uncontrollable fear.
"Bring him out."
The guard's hooded eyes dimmed, switching to the infrared it used when escorting prisoners. The rough cast-iron door clanged open. The burly technomat lumbered inside, hauled the young man to his feet and manhandled him into the corridor. The black-clad librarian and leather-clad primitive regarded one another, one with an aloof curiosity, the other with apprehension. The librarian knew the young man could psych him, too, and this frightened him all the more. He did not know why he had been brought here. He did not know who or what the librarian was. He did not know what was intended for him. There was no point in trying to reassure him. If he were to know, his terror would likely cause his heart to stop.
"Come."
The librarian turned and led the way down the long corridor, followed by the guard occasionally assisting the prisoner, whose knees were wont to buckle every few steps. It was a feature of Mars, home of the Adeptus Mechanicus, that there was no standard level of technology. The most developed, that is to say, the most prehistoric arts, stood side by side with the crudest of modern improvisations. The visual scanners, for viewing the interiors of the holding cells, had been made by young pre-initiates as a trial exercise, and utilized spinning charged discs instead of powered scanning screens. At the end of the long corridor, whose iron walls ran with moisture and grew green mould, and behind whose ranks of cast-iron doors languished many a silent captive of the Adeptus, lay on an elevator cage with folding bronze gates. With a clashing sound, the gates were thrown open. The three men of such wildly different origins stepped inside. The technomat flung the gates shut and threw a heavy lever. There was a clunk, a thud, and then a loud, strained whining as the lifting cables took hold. The cage went up, 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 and up, endlessly aloft. Atop the highest tower in this part of Mars, thick, weather-worn windows gave a panoramic view for hundreds of miles over the landscape of what was still called the Red Planet. In the main, its reddish hue was not, as it had been in past ages, due to its ochre deserts. It was due to rust. What lay below the tower resembled nothing more so much as a riotous, decaying jungle spreading without end. But that jungle was not natural. It consisted of gigantic machinery, both new and abandoned, of hive cities, both new and abandoned, of colossal engineering constructions, some of it twisted and sagging and covered with an oily fog of pollution. It was, in fact, the result of nearly 40 centuries of the cult Mechanicus, the worship of the machine. For here it was, and here alone, that the scientific arts had been preserved for mankind during the long dark ages of anarchy, when Earth itself had fallen into barbarism. During that time, the adepts of Mars had rarely bothered to clean up the spoils and derelict production areas. Ever busy with the sacred task of new fabrication, the tech priests of the machine god regarded the work of bygone ages as holy relics. And so the machinery of Mars had proliferated like a cancer, piling over the surface of the planet. Here and there, patches of the original desert were still visible. When the wind rose, the ancient sand came howling over the works of man, pitting and eroding the rusting surfaces, laying down a patina of red Martian dust over the metal environment. But at the moment, the weather was calm. The wan sun shone serenely through a pink sky. In that sky, long glinting objects could be seen moving in leisurely fashion from horizon to horizon, following one another in a continuous train. They were the orbiting docks and factories that were also part of the Martian industrial monolith, turning out the ships of the Warfleet Solar and other specialized constructions requiring zero gravity. Leaving the top of the lift shaft, the three men were ushered by a Lexamat secretary into the office of Magus Technicus Ipsissimus. The Technomagus was himself of venerable years. Just how many centuries he had lived was known to few, chiefly to his personal tech priests and the Magus biologists who attended to his body modifications. His lined, aged face bore an expression of pained anxiety, clad in his scarlet robe and seated at a desk of electrum inlaid with sapphires, he conducted a conference with a visiting emissary of the inquisitorial representative. He was one of the High Lords of Terror. He barely seemed to notice the entrance of the prisoner. The emissary, wearing a rich blue tabard and matching cape, was listening carefully to the Technomagus's words.
"It is 178 years," Ipsissimus was saying, "since the Inquisition sent a null ship into the Eye of Terror. The reason is simple. Of the previous 20 such spy ships dispatched, none have returned or succeeded in sending back any useful information."
"The Eye is an extremely dangerous place," the Inquisitorial representative pointed out smoothly. "Best left alone in some people's view."
"Ha!" Ipsissimus waved his hands in exasperation. "Left alone? To wreak whatever havoc it can? Yes, I know people have different opinions as to the dangers it represents. Not everything is made known. But you of the Inquisition surely know better than anyone else that it is in fact the greatest peril to face mankind. Come now, do not frown, I mean no disrespect to the Inquisition. There is no point in sending out men and ships to sure destruction without purpose. Still, the problem rankles. It has annoyed me. So I have put my mind to it over the past few years. I have engaged myself on a new type of null ship. It has 10 times the screening of the old model. It could cross the Eye from end to end without being detected. It is better armed and larger, so it can carry more fighting men if it is detected, and it is fortunate that I have so exerted myself."
The emissary politely ignored the Technomagus's boastfulness. Age had its privileges.
"Is such a ship practicable?" he asked thoughtfully. "Is it even possible? I recall the difficulties with the old null ships. They were more an act of desperation than anything else, and were believed to be the best that could be built."
"You may safely leave that to the ingenuity of the Adeptus and of myself in particular. We do not like to be defeated by any problem. It calls into question our devotion to the machine god."
The leather-clad prisoner whimpered. He had been silent until now, standing by the side of the room with one arm expertly gripped by the guard, gawping through the thick glass-eyed windows, deaf to the conversation taking place nearby. To be transported from the depths of a dismal dungeon to the height of this tower, 3 imperial miles above the surface of the planet, standing in real sunlight and open to the view of the panorama below, left him even more stunned than had his previous experiences. He shrank as faces turned towards him, and words in an unfamiliar, intimidating Gothic dialect began to wash around him.
This young man was about to be burned as a witch on some emperor-forsaken planet or other, Technomagus Ipsissimus was saying. When he was picked up by agents of the Adeptus Telepathica, he is a very strong psyker. Very strong indeed, one of the strongest ever found in a number of respects. It was judged he would burn out too quickly to be worth training as an astropath, so he was sent to serve the Astronomicon. Even there, he was rejected on account of his instability. Even the Astronomicon has its requirements, it seems. He was handed back to the Scholar Sicana for review, and would have been sacrificed to the Emperor like any other uncontrollable psyker, were it not for certain visions he recounted. As these bore a relation to my null ship project, I had him transferred here.
For one born with such a disability, he seems to have had an unusual degree of luck to escape death so regularly, the emissary said with a wry smile.
That may not necessarily be the case, the Technomagus murmured. What do you make of him, Lexicanium?
The librarian regarded the primitive psyker again. He seems not to have fallen foul of demonic possession in any form, which is unusual in one of his advanced talent. His luck, again, perhaps. He is tormented and very unstable, mainly due to the fact that he lives in constant terror.
Terror! Yes, terror. Get him to tell us about the Eye of Terror.
At the mention of this phrase, which the psyker had failed to hear earlier while his mind was on the landscape below, he now let out a great howl.
The door! The door! Flee! The door is opening!
The door is what he calls the Eye of Terror, Ipsissimus said gravely to the emissary. A poetic phrase. A cosmic door into the warp. His visions are fragmentary, but the Scholar Sicana are convinced he has seen that something significant is happening there. Something we need to know about. Therefore, I propose we send the new null ship into the Eye. Perhaps it can find out.
He made a gesture.
Allow me to introduce Epistillary Librarian Marshtuma of the Purple Stars chapter of the Adeptus Astartes. Conditional on your approval, he will accompany the mission and act as astropath, should it become necessary to try to dispatch a message out of the Eye.
The Technomagus's wheezy voice paused. The emissary turned his gaze to the librarian for the first time, nodding in cool but genuine respect. Any space marine, because of the ancient, though indirect, link with the Emperor, was regarded with a measure of awe, quite apart from his almost superhuman qualities. At that moment, the wild psyker, in one convulsive movement, broke free of the guard's grip. He threw himself to his knees before the aged Technomagus and spoke with a strangled, desperate voice, in the vowel-twisting accent of his home planet.
Noble sirs, I beg you, please do not kill me.
Kill you? The Magus echoed, raising his bushy eyebrows. We weren't thinking of killing you.
With a supercilious curl of his lip, the emissary of the inquisitorial representative looked down at the fawning captive.
What would you like us to do with you, young man? Make me unconscious, like a vegetable, and keep me alive forever. Do not let me live. Do not let me die. If I die, my soul goes to the other side of the door.
He means the warp, my lords, the librarian offered. He has seen into the warp and fears what he has seen. Tottering forward, the venerable Technomagus took the psyker's arm and brought him gently to his feet.
Take heart. You are to be of great service to the Imperium. You will have brave companions. You are to go into the Eye of Terror, the place you call the door. Your talents will be of use there, with others like yourself. Emperor willing, You will find out what is really going on.
When he heard this, the terrified Psyker's body went rigid. His eyes bulged. With a strangled yelp, Epistillery Librarian Marshtuma staggered back and raised his hands to his head as if he had been struck a physical blow. The emissary of the Inquisitorial Representative and the Technomagus both flinched as well, for although he had not made a sound, the Psyker had uttered a mind shriek, a psychic scream which tore through every living consciousness around him. A ragged, rending, mental howl of utter, absolute horror, terror, and despair. Chapter 2 coming soon. Thank you to everybody supporting the channel. Please do remember to give this video a like. I'll see you again soon. Cheers.